Praise and thanks be to the Lord. I had to think of the chorus of the song, "Let the storms rage and the winds blow." Yes, we prefer the winds to blow than the storms to rage. We are grateful that we can be here to worship. There is so much need on earth. And when we hear and read about everyone's hardship, we almost forget our own. Yes, we almost forget our own. Here is a letter from Kassel. In one family, glaucoma, cataract. Great need. And we sometimes have the impression that we can no longer bear it. Unless God comes into his own. We live far below our spiritual level. Far below all our privileges that God has given us through Christ. And I hope that God will strengthen our faith, our courage, our certainty, and everything that goes with it. That we do not look on timidly at the way things are and move on with a heavy heart, but have the grace to trust the Lord, take him at his word, and just demand in faith. Yes, demand. We are allowed to demand. We heard that very clearly from Brother Branham in the sermon, The Token, when God is with us. And how it was with the people of Israel back then. The lamb was slain, and with that, all was done. There was no more unrest in the house. Outside, yes. With the Egyptians too, and with everyone else. But where the lamb had been slaughtered, and the blood painted on the doorposts, there was no unrest. There was faith. There was certainty. The people sat down and ate and thanked the Lord, but prepared to leave because the hour of deliverance had come. At the moment, that very night, when the lamb was slain, came the exodus, the deliverance, the turning point, salvation, victory, blessing. Everything was revealed. On the night, the lamb was slain in the houses. Until then, Moses negotiated with Pharaoh once and again and again and again and again, and plagues of various kinds came, but no deliverance, no bringing out. Water turned to blood, and you all know the 10 different plagues. Nothing happened. Of course, signs and wonders did happen, but only when the lamb was slain. And what God had demanded happened. The blood was painted on the doorposts. The destruction angel had to pass by. He had no right to approach those who were obedient to God. And you realize exactly, not do this, do that, but the lamb, the blood of the lamb. And we believe with all our heart that we are under the protection of the blood of the lamb. Satan can no longer touch us. A person who consciously places himself in the presence of God in obedience to his word, under the blood of the Lamb, in faith, has lost the enemy's claim on him. He can rage and unleash all hell, but he can do no harm to our souls, because the blood of the Lamb has flowed, and we have been redeemed. I mean that we have all these needs, and there were a few more that I don't have under control at the moment, but there were some more prayer requests. Yes, a sister called, and we told the people that we would pray. Why don't we do it now? And read a word first, so that we can strengthen our faith, which is needed in prayer, because a prayer without faith consists only of words. A prayer without faith consists only of words. A prayer in faith consists of power, of God's power, that is released, that becomes effective, that is revealed, because we believe. So, pray and believe. This is certainly, I didn't intend to, but I feel like reading it. We can be very satisfied with Mark chapter 11. From verse 22. And Jesus answering says unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. We have heard these words many times, but have we understood them? Have we had the grace to act on them, to believe that what we ask of God has already been given to us by grace? In other words, that we have been heard, and that God has already answered. He is thereby honored and glorified by being able to confirm his word. Let us keep this word in our hearts and before our eyes, and bring now all prayer requests before the Lord. Let us stand up for this. Heavenly Father, we come before your holy face, O God. We stand on the ground of faith, on the victorious ground of Golgotha. Faithful Lord, you have given us your word. You gave your church everything in the beginning. All the fullness, all the power, all the gifts, all the fruit, all the blessings. Nothing was lacking. We have heard about the restitution. Lord, every lack must be remedied. O faithful God, We come now as we are, and bring you all these people, our brothers and sisters, near and far. They have written, they have called, they have said it personally, and they are waiting for an answer to come down from heaven tonight. O faithful God, we believe that you are here. We believe that you hear. We believe that you answer. And we bring you all these prayer requests and intercessions. Faithful Lord, grant us now the faith to accept that you have granted it, that you heard, healed, saved, delivered. O faithful Lord, we especially remember our sister in her distress. Faithful God, compassion is not enough. Lord, we want your power to be revealed, for Satan's power to be broken, for her to be delivered, for her to be blessed and completely healed. O faithful God, to you be praise and honor, glory and worship. Lord, create such an atmosphere of faith, my God, that we pray to you as from one mouth and believe that you answer. Hallelujah. To your wonderful name. Faithful God, we thank you that you have heard us. We thank you that you have answered. Beloved Lord, you have stretched out your mighty arm, and let the faith of those who asked for prayer and our faith to come before your throne along with our prayers, and have granted us to find grace before your face. O dear Lamb of God, we place ourselves under the protection of your blood. Faithful Lord, we thank you that you have redeemed us, that we may be your own. Lord, we want to get ready to set out to see your signs and wonders. O Lord, give us what we need so that you can be glorified and all our needs can be met. We want to thank you that we didn't fool ourselves, that we didn't put strange fire upon the altar. Faithful God, we want to see you work, to see your word confirmed, to see your promises fulfilled. Lord, walk as the living one, as the risen one, in the midst of your people. You also know the needs in our midst, all our prayer requests, O Lord. How long will we hesitate to take you at your word? How long will we stand on the sidelines and watch what the enemy does? Lord, grant us the grace to see shortly that you are gracious to your people and reveal yourself in their midst. To you, the Almighty God, who has become our Father through Jesus Christ, be thanksgiving, praise, glory and worship for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. A note was handed to me when I was already sitting here, and here the request is expressed. Could you speak tonight on the subject, the appearance of the adversary before the coming of the Lord? 2 Thessalonians 2. That is, of course, possible. It is one of the most difficult subjects, one of the most important, one of the most topical subjects that we have or can deal with. I just hope that everyone will get something out of it, because basically there are doctrinal themes, there are prophetic themes, there are evangelistic themes. You can look at parables and go through them. But the question is always, what do we as children of God have the most of? To the unbelievers, an evangelistic word must be brought. Teaching is the backbone of a church. If a church has no biblical teaching, then it has no standing, no stability. It is just part of it. And then, of course, the prophetic aspect is also part of it. Anyone who does not have insight into the prophetic word has no overview. They don't know what God's plan is, and especially have no orientation for this time. Before we go into the Word of God, certainly only briefly, and then we want to pray. And we want to pray in such a way that many people can pray, so that everyone first says only what moves them in particular, without introduction, without elaboration, because this is a church service. In the closet, everyone can pray as long as he likes, just as it is given to everyone. But I have the impression that as many people as possible should be able to pray in a prayer meeting, including sisters. Otherwise, we hardly have the opportunity in the meetings. And when should God come into His own? When should He reveal Himself? Believe me, He reveals Himself where His word is, where it is believed, and also where people thank Him from the bottom of their hearts, that He speaks to us and gives us what He has promised. Now, we will have a short reflection. You all know that I intend, and I believe that it is God's will, to write both about Christ, who He is, and about the Antichrist, who He is. And I have said it again and again. These two things, as contradictory as they are, and as fundamentally different as they are, anyone who wants to recognize the Antichrist must have recognized Christ. If you guess there, you guess here. Whoever is in the dark there is also in the dark here. The two are as separate as day and night, heaven and hell. But he who does not see the one will not be able to see the other. And I will prove it. The origin of Christ goes back to God. And I will prove it. The origin of the Antichrist goes back to Satan. God's word does not owe us the answer. I do not need to look for it. It is here. And I can read to you from the prophet that Lucifer was already as beautifully decorated as the Antichrist is today. with precious stones, with gold, and with all the trimmings. Have you read it? It is written in the Word of God that Lucifer was already decorated in the Garden of Eden with the full beauty that we now see in the Antichrist. But we are talking about 2 Thessalonians 2, and no one has referred to this scripture in connection with the Antichrist more often than Martin Luther. It is astonishing whether in the prophet Daniel, wherever he found any word, he built the bridge and discovered the traces of the Antichrist again and again. And not only that, but he actually uncovered them. After all, we live in a time when everything is supposed to be connected. But it is probably the prophet Amos who asks, how can two walk together unless they agree? And the Word of God says, how does Christ agree with Baal? What do light and darkness have in common? What do church service and idolatry have to do with each other? The two are mutually exclusive. But with God's help, we will look at this separately. What is important in this context, I don't know exactly for whom it has suddenly become so important, but be that as it may, there is a lot written here. It talks about the day of the Lord in 2 Thessalonians 2 and our union with Him. And then also about the Antichrist and the man of sin, the man of lawlessness. But it is very difficult to talk about this. Let's read the first verse. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him. It is plain and clear from this word that this scripture is addressed to people who will live on earth before the rapture. Have we registered that? This is the point. I will read it again. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming or return of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that is the rapture. You must see this word in connection with 1 Thessalonians 4 and then also 5. It then continues immediately with 2 Thessalonians. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Here, in 1 Thessalonians 4, the sequence of how it will happen one after the other is described until we meet the Lord in the air. Then it begins in chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. We will not go into detail. Just because it's written here about the day of the Lord once again, and before that about the rapture, let us now put it in a little order Actually, it is already in an order. In verse 2 it says, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. We all know what the day of the Lord is. The day of the Lord begins with a moment when the bride of the Lamb is taken from this earth. And the day of the Lord includes the great tribulation, the judgments of the vials of wrath, the judgments of the trumpets, and everything that lies in the period of the rapture and establishing of the millennial reign. All this is included in that period. In this context, it is important that this is also taken to heart, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. How many have been put into trouble in recent years? The day of the Lord is here. Christ has come. The second coming is then and then, and then it's all over again. And again, new excitement in all countries, not only here. No. No one needs to be shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by a revelation of the Spirit, nor by a word, or by some letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, the adversary, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. No special revelation is needed about this. There is only one person on earth who exalts himself above everything, only one who says he is the voice of God on earth, only one who claims to be the representative of Jesus Christ, only one who claims to be able to forgive sins of the living and the dead. But who will forgive his? Right? And the things are so clearly described that there is no need to puzzle over them. And Paul writes to the Corinthians, but if the gospel we preach be hid, it is hidden to them that are lost. It is hidden from those who are going down, but to those who go up, it is revealed. It cannot be otherwise. If Christ is in us, then the Antichrist will be shown to us. That is such a contrast, and we don't want to strike out in any way. But we know it is the Spirit of God in us. We want to wish all people the best. There are people who think that even the devil will be saved. If God had destined him for this, why not? But God has not destined him to be saved. And it says in the Bible that he will be thrown into the lake of fire. That's just the way it is. The love of God is within the bounds of the Word of God, and so is the grace of God. You cannot simply go beyond every limit and think that you are still in God. You are in God as long as you are within the bounds of His Word. And if you go beyond them, then you are no longer in God. This is about a great falling away, and it would be in vain if we were to think that these are the established churches that have strayed from the Word of God. We don't need to go back that far. We only need to look around us, and then the word still applies to us and all others who have stood still. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. When you hear all the error that is in your own ranks, and I say on purpose in your own ranks, then I am not surprised, and that may hurt. But when Brother Branham said, if the Pentecostal church were to go on like this for another 100 years, it would be worse off than the Roman church. When I think of all the distortions and interpretations that have been made of this message, all the things that have been brought to light, it is just unbelievable. We don't need to go far. It is so important that we now, before the return of the Lord, before we are united with Him at the rapture, and if anyone thinks that Christ has come down to this earth and is now on this earth, such a person is a liar. Christ came into the church through the Spirit at Pentecost, and in this way He is and works on earth through the Spirit. But He Himself remains mediator and advocate until the last one has come in, and only then will He leave the mercy seat. I can easily show you from the book The Seven Seals that we are still living in the fourth seal. The fourth seal includes the entire age of Laodicea until the end. And the fifth seal concerns the Jews. The sixth, the great tribulation after the rapture. And the seventh, the end of all things and the transition into the millennium. This is what we can read in the seals book. So no ambiguities are necessary after God has given clarity through His word. But when you hear things, and I'm not really one of those who always like to pass on what I hear, but I almost have to smile, even though it's so serious, because I'm the last person to know certain things. In any case, I have actually heard that Brother Branham is supposed to have said, a bright light will dawn in Germany, where the black fir trees are. And I'm smiling a little now, but it's really no laughing matter. What nonsense. I don't have a good memory, but I have one grace from God. I have heard all the sermons that Brother Branham preached in the 60s, and I didn't just hear them once. There isn't a sermon I've heard less than 3 times, most of them 5 or more times. And if I don't remember things that were said to me yesterday, tomorrow, then that may be the case. But from the sermons, I dare say I know what was said, because I listened carefully. But just imagine, people are impressed and influenced with things like that. And then they actually come where the fir trees are black in the dark. And then they are all happy. No, it's unbelievable how far people can forget themselves. Don't be angry with me. If I keep this expression to myself, and don't pass on what I think about such people. They are seducers. They are deceivers who have nothing whatsoever to do with the kingdom of God. They are the people to whom the word of God refers, which our Lord himself said, that all offenses will be taken out of the kingdom of God. One day the time must come when all those who are an offense in the kingdom of God and thus put a stumbling block in the way of God's people. This cannot go on like this until the end. There would be a back and forth, and as long as there was a back and forth, where would be the unity in the Spirit, the unity with God and with one another? No, something must come whereby God bears witness to where the truth is and where he is. He will only unite with the truth. You cannot unite God with anything other than his word, with truth. His word is the truth, and that is where all spirits separate. And if you read the sermons in all seriousness, and also translate them, and then it says, whoever does not believe one of God's words is guilty of everything the Lord has said. And how many are there who are not prepared to believe what God has said, and to believe that the Lord has ordained men through whom he has spoken? And don't think that I'm pointing to myself, but for sure we all believe that Brother Branham was a man sent from God. And I believe with full conviction that I understand and teach every word he brought correctly from the Holy Scriptures. If anyone can convict me that this is not the case, let them do so, and I would thank them from the bottom of my heart. I am not interested in being right, and none of us should be interested in being right. Only one is right, and that is God. And God will never join us. We will have to agree with him, so that we can go forward with him. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. In the prophet Daniel, I don't know if I can open it right away, it is written about a man who will set out to change the times and the law. It should be in chapter 7 or 9. We'll have it in a minute. Like I said, I wasn't prepared for this topic at all. I'll have a look at chapter 11 from verse 36. But after all, we have a Bible study. Why don't you look for the word from the prophet Daniel, where it says, he will exalt himself above the God of gods and will set out to change the law and the feasts. 7, isn't it? Of course. Here it is in front of me. Daniel 7:25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and a dividing of time. This already refers to the immediate last 3.5 years of the great tribulation that is yet to come upon Israel, But we don't like to talk about that. These people have suffered so much that we would prefer it if we could say that there is nothing more to come. But imagine what is written here. I wish I had a very old Luther Bible right now. Here in Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself, and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. I wanted to read one more verse, the last part of verse 38. He shall honor with gold and silver and with precious stones. Where do we have gold and silver and precious stones and all that? You only have to read it in the prophet Ezekiel. It should be in chapter 28, where all these beautiful things were given to Lucifer. Ezekiel 28, verse 12. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets, and of thy pipes, was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. The description. If you read it before, there is no better description than the one in Ezekiel 28. I read from verse 1, maybe it will be better. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Of course thou art wiser than Daniel. Yes, certainly. Satan, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. And then whoever follows this up, with trade and wisdom and all the rest, and then reading Revelation 17, by your trade you have become rich, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with thee, and so on. And so Satan has been in the various kings, possessed them, until he could then be incarnated in a man. And this is not unclear to anyone who has a revelation of God in his heart. Blessed is the man who reads the word, and to whom it is revealed through the Holy Spirit. When we read this, and a divine wrath comes upon us, it is not because we are angry with a person, no, but because so many do not read the word of God, and those who do read it have no revelation. And these are all those who have not recognized that God has a prophetic passage for this time, and that the word of God came only to the prophets. How many are there who don't even know where God lives, let alone what his name is and what he wants, and they bypass what God has actually spoken? Who will escape in this time? Who can be prepared? People who go in with a great multitude under some leader, or those who let themselves be called out, Ye my people, come out, be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. Today they say, come in, come in. Yes, where? Come in where? Unite yourselves. Yes, with whom? With whom? Become one. With whom? Christ is the head of the church, and all those who are baptized into the body of Jesus Christ by the Spirit are subject to the head. And all those who recognize Christ as head would have to shake off a head of hate, and that with a jolt. Why should we have a head of hate if Christ is the head? He is completely sufficient for us. As I said, I don't know who wanted this answer, but nothing is clearer than this scripture in connection with all the others. And just as Christ has many designations, Son of God, Prophet, Son of Man, Servant, King, and many more, so it is the same here with this adversary. He is the lawless one, he is the Antichrist, he is the false prophet, he is many things, he is the one who exalts himself above everything that is called God or that is worshipped. But all these designations always apply to the same person. And we know, here it is in verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. The work of our Lord was the work of God. Our Savior could say, it is not I who do the works, but the Father who dwells in me, he does his works. But here is someone through whom Satan works. Blessed is the man who can see through all this. Here it says, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Not confirmation of the word of God, not healings. There has been no healing yet. I don't want to get personal, but when the Queen of Belgium traveled there years ago, because she was barren, she is still barren today. Anyone who wants to can go there, and anyone who was fertile would become barren. That's the way it is. This is a very serious matter for me. God has only one divine channel. It is His Holy Word, and only one Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. And he is always connected to the word of God. And everything else, just as water is repelled by oil, so everything must be repelled. And I say this to you, God has ordained us to fight for the truth. And if it were a matter of laying down our lives, and that is why the devil has such a terrible rage, if he could, he would kill us even faster than God may have ordained. But God will give us the time we need to expound all these biblical truths regardless, so that all may have the chance for the last time. I can take you back to the seed of the serpent, to Satan, to Cain, and show how from the line of Cain all these people came forth. Nimrod, who wanted to unite them all under one head, they all paid tribute to him. And what was it? A Tower of Babel. God touched the thing, and it was down. A confusion of languages. They wanted to go up somewhere themselves. Yes, where to? God takes us up. He had to come to us, so that we can go up through him. All these things, and then we see it with Cain and Abel, all the things in the Old Testament, up to Jesus and Judas, and then at the end, Christ and the Antichrist. But the Lord will strike him with the breath of his mouth when he returns to set up the millennial reign and will kill him. Yes, sir, that is how it is written. But I hope that we have said enough about this. And at the same time, I hope that we get grateful in our hearts for the revelation of Jesus Christ our Lord. For without this divine revelation, we remain in the dark. We guess here and we guess there, and find neither here nor there. But by the grace of God, the Lord will help us. It says here, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And sometimes people may not fully understand me, but the moment I realize that a teaching comes from Rome, then the end of the teaching has come. And then it has to be taken out, root and branch. Then no interpretation is permitted. Finish. And no one can ask us to shuffle things up again. No one can ask us to ignore divine revelations and truths. God did not give them for that purpose. He gave them so that we would recognize the truth, and that the truth would set us free, and that we would then be firmly grounded in this divine truth. That is our lot. Not just to talk about these things and say, we have the message. I'm telling you the truth. Today there are many who say, yes, we believe in justification. Have they experienced it? In Luther's day, justification was not a doctrine. It was the preaching of the Word of God, and people experienced it. In the days of Wesley, sanctification was not an issue to be argued about, but a preaching of the Word, and people experienced it. In the Pentecostal revival, there was no teaching about the baptism of the Spirit, but the baptism of the Spirit itself. Today, there is teaching about everything, but where are the things themselves? That is what matters. Do you think justification is a doctrine and will save me? Or that sanctification is a doctrine and will save me? Or the doctrine of the baptism in the Holy Spirit? No, we must have the experiences that the teaching will bring us to experience God, and that we take with us what He has promised. I have great confidence in my God, even though I am often down and don't know what to do next. Nevertheless, I have absolute confidence that God will complete the work He has begun. And I know that as sure as God lives, His word is in my heart, in my soul, in my spirit. And I live and die for this word. And I hope that we all believe from the bottom of our hearts and really clear up everything that belongs to traditions that are not in the Holy Scriptures. We have to free ourselves from it. There's no other way. And I can prove to you from the Holy Scriptures and from church history that everyone has taken their traditions with them. The Godhead has been taken from one denomination to the other. What was it? They saw new things, old things were taken over, and so it went on and on and on. And now it's over. Now God wants a totally new thing among His people, without any mixture, pure proclamation, pure experiences with God, just as He promised us in His word. Can we believe that God has not gone to all this trouble in vain, but that there is meaning and purpose behind it, in order to have a bride in the end, who is word from His word, spirit from His spirit, life from His life, who is simply made of the same material as He is, so that she fits Him and can be brought to Him on that day when He comes again to take us home. By grace, we will be there. Amen.